us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, as we gather to remember, O Lord, the ordinance that you have asked us to keep. So, Father, tonight we ask for your grace as you count to you, Lord, as the body of Christ. Gather together, Lord, to keep the ordinance of feet washing, as well as the Lord's Supper, the communion, O Lord, that we should have with you every day, Father, even though we will have tonight to be at thy table. So, Father, right now we ask for your blessing. For those on the way, we ask that you bless them too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to turn to the Bible, to the book of John, chapter 13. Just want to recall that you remember why we do what we do. Why has the friend of mine do it the way that they want to do it, but we want to do it according to scriptures in the sequence of events that happened in the days of Jesus Christ, the night before he was betrayed and taken to be crucified. John chapter 13, verse 1 onward. It says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of his world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then came he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed need not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye said, Well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very, very, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know this thing, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Very, very, I say unto you, He that receive whomsoever I send, receive him that sent me. Then Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit, and testified, saying, Very, very, I said to you, that one of you shall betray me. So now in this John chapter 13, we know there's a lot of confusion over the sequence of what was happening that very night. Here it is very clear that he said that in verse 13, verse 1, that the feast of the Passover was near. And then he wanted to take this Passover, and in verse 2, and supper being ended, it seems that there are a lot of people, the word supper being ended means that the communion has already taken place. Then Jesus Christ took the water and washed the disciples' feet. That is not so. Because we know that he says here that Jesus Christ took a basin and washed the disciples' feet, and then after that he went back to the table again. The Bible said he went back to the table again. Did you read that? Okay, let's just go and see why he says so. And in verse 12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, and he asked the disciples, do you know what I've done to you? He had just washed their feet. And he went back to the table. Is that right? And he even said that there is one here among you who will betray me. So there are altogether 12 disciples, and Jesus had washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. But there is one thing that is Judas Iscariot that night never partook. It's the communion. Let us go to the next. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we have verse 18 and 19. Mark chapter 14. Verse 18 to 21. Rather. But look at verse 17. What it says here. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and they had, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, very, very, I say unto you, one of you which eat with me shall betray me. And then they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And answered, is it I? And he said, unto them, it is one of the 12 that dig with me in the dish. Okay, so now here we have a condensed, alright, all the four gospels, they were written by four different authors, each present Christ differently. So that's the reason why there's a lot of confusion, because some of them do not write so much about the feet washing, while some of them will wash more about the feet washing. So we know that they sat down in chapter 13 of John. They eat the supper. What supper was that? It is not the Lord's Supper. Tradition has always said it was the Lord's Supper. That was not the Lord's Supper. It was an ordinary meal. Okay? That was eaten at the table that was prepared for the Passover. There was no Passover lamb because the lamb was slaughtered only the following day at 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. You remember that? Okay? So this was after 6 p.m. the day before. Are you aware of it? Okay? So, after Jesus had eaten the table, he got himself, took the water, and washed the disciples' feet. Finishing that, went back to the table. And that's why Mark never record the feet washing. And he said to them, one of you is going to betray me. And they asked, is it I? And Jesus said, one of you who will dip the same piece of bread into the same dish with me. And now we look into Mark 14, verse 22 and 25. Mark 14, 22 to 25. It says here, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup which he had given them, he gave it to them, and they all did drink of it. Now you see this already in chapter 14, verse 18 and 19. Here is 18 and 19, there is when Judas Iscariot was signaled out, or Jesus' word, that the one who did his bread in the same soup with me is the one who is going to betray me. And in other gospel, Jesus said, what do you have to do? Do it. And Judas Iscariot left the room. It's only after that that Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And how many of them were there with the Lord? Only 11, not 12. Alright, that's why we do the feet washing first. So we shall start with our feet washing. May the Lord bless us all tonight.
Because I'm yours, Lord. Because I'm yours. I bless thee. And love thee just because I'm yours. Now I sing and dance and shout aloud. It's Christ in me. Yes, there'll never be a doubt. Because I'm yours, Lord. love thee, just because I'm yours.
Now the time that I walk with Him closely, day to day, now that I
saving us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thou art worthy of praise, to be worshipped, Lord, to be blessed, to be glorified. You glorify thy great name, Lord. Oh, that we as your children, Lord Jesus, will glorify your name every day. We'll bless you every day, Lord, for thou art worthy, worthy of praise. Blessed be thy holy name. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we could gather here again, Lord, to keep the ordinances, and we ask that you bless now, Lord, as we break the word of life. Father, this is truly the bread of life. So break it down for us, O Lord, as we see the day fast approaching now, we ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, let us, I want to talk to you, I want to share with you, brother, as I told you last week, that I'm going to share with you Brother Tony Rohana's visions and his wife's dream of the earthquake, and how that God dealt with him in many other things concerning the chart that he drew. And altogether, there are actually 12 charts. Actually, there are 12 charts altogether that he completed, because the chart in itself, the main chart, is very big. So he has to break it down into small pieces, so that he could give a write-up about it. Some of them doesn't have any write-up, but just to show you. So we are going to deal with this, but we're not going to deal with all these charts, only two main charts, and that is the first and the last chart. All right. Now, I believe that every one of us, we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because that's the blessed hope. That is our blessed hope. Because after all, this world has nothing for us. Because we are all strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Amen?
Amen?
So when we look into the scripture, I want you to understand that we're not trying to fix a day. Because no man knows the day and the hour. You know. But I want to look at this chart that he drew, and then we want to consider the hour that we live in. Look at Matthew 24. Now, I think Matthew 24 is a very, very often emphasized chapter of the Bible, because it deals with the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end. And we can see that we're not going to read all of this. I believe that we have already talked so much about these end time signs and events. But just to let you, just to go over it, to see how this passage or this chapter of scripture have already been fulfilled in so many ways. Right? Alright, if you look at verse 3 onwards, the disciple asked Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take it that no man deceive you. And I think this is particularly true because already, not only that Jesus warned the disciples in his day, but I think it's also applied to us, especially in the last day. There are more deception than any period before. Is that right? We are living in the last church age, and we know that this is Laodicea. You know, and how that the world has changed so much, not only just in religion, but in the political field, the financial field, there are a lot of deception. The politics, you know, politician. And since this last election in America, we've got a lot of fake news now. There's a lot of deception. People are sending out WhatsApp texts about this article and that article, and turn out that they're all fake. They're hoax, you see. So people in the world are deceived. So you won't be surprised that there's going to be a lot more deception. The Christ is here, Christ is there, this is the day the Christ is going to come, and we must wait in the mountain, and so on and so forth. Right. So deception is a very common thing now. And you go on to say, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And I think that we have that in Korea, we have that also in India, we have that in Africa as well. And in America, yes, there are too. In South America, they are also there. You know, everybody, the word Christ doesn't mean to say they are Jesus Christ in that sense. It means to say they are the anointed one, the Messiah, who's going to rescue men and take them somewhere into heaven and things like that. Alright? And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars and see that you be not troubled. For this thing must come to pass, for the end is not yet. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilences, and earthquake in diverse places. And I think that has increased since the time when I was in the denomination church back in the 60s. You know, when I did a study, and I see the number of earthquake, number of pestilences, the famine in the world, and it kept increasing. I think today we got more. Because first of all, mankind have polluted the air, the water, the land. Huh? They dump chemical in your house. You know, and in fact, I saw a documentary on RT regarding the this dump site. I can't remember what they call it, what zone, and it's out there in Guatemala. It's just like over in Manila, the Blue Mountain, the garbage that was piled up there. In fact, that one in Guatemala was so big, it just smelled, and people live there and they salvage the thing to make an earning. You know, and there are some that go out there to salvage there, and some that, well, they're fortunate they get gold and gold rings and diamond rings. People just threw it. I don't know how they make, you know. So we see all that stuff. You know. So, and that's how when we get this pollution in the world, in the air, people get sick. I think China this year has a very bad smoke. Huh? You know. And then we have Africa. You have this famine, the drought, and now we have the flooding over in Butuan, and then we have all that in Malawi. See, Sudan, Yemen are some of the very bad countries in Africa. Alright. And we have in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Now the Bible says these are the beginning of what happened back then is increasing. So now we're getting more and more. Alright. And they shall deliver up you to be afflicted and shall kill you. And I think that we can see that even that in Africa, Nigeria, with the Boko Haram killing, you know, the Christian people, not only the Christian, but the anybody they liked. Huh? And in many countries, we have the Middle East, Iraq, we have over there Iran, and, you know, Christians are suffering. You see. Over in India, the same thing. The Hindu, the Muslim, they'll destroy the churches. Alright? And I think in the world today, there are two religious people, or two groups of people that are really, very much hated. The Jew and the Christian. Practically. Alright? And they shall deliver up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, when I go to, you know, when I want to go to India, I can never apply for the visa and to let them know that I am a missionary. You know. But the last time when I applied, they questioned me, what are you there in India so many times? Are you a missionary? What else can I say? You know? So I know you people are doing good work in India. You know? But we don't want this. We don't want to change the people's religion. So if you want to go to India, we give you a tourist visa. It means a tourist visa. You're not allowed to go to church and speak to the people in the church. You're not even allowed to talk to a few of the Christian people. You're not allowed to talk anything about any religion. I said, I'm visiting a pastor. I can't talk to the family. No, no, no. You know, that's the way they become so tied up in their religion that they just, I wonder why they hate Christians so much. Do they have a fear that if they have lots of Hindu people in India, they have no strength? It's not all about religion. It's all about, you know, living peacefully with everybody. But no, they don't think it that way. Alright? Same thing in the Middle East and so many countries, the Islamic, where you have all these extremists. And it says, verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Oh yes. And I think not only just that among Christian hating Christian, Christian group hating another Christian group, they are common too. Alright. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Oh, there are obviously a lot of them. Okay? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now the Bible says iniquity, not just sin, it's just iniquity, where there is unfairness. And then when preachers start to deceive people by putting them at a disadvantage, then you say that without me, you cannot make the rapture. You understand what I'm saying? Without me, you cannot make the rapture. You know, I'm talking about me. But this is what the people are saying. You know what I mean? Some of these preachers are. They put it in such a way that without me, you cannot make the rapture. And then the Branhamites are preaching that if you don't hold on to what Abraham said, walk forward and don't say what he said exactly, you don't make the rapture. And then you have denomination telling them, don't listen to this prophet Branham. He's a false prophet. You know. And we are the Catholic. Of course, Catholic is always the mother church. If you don't stay with the mother church, you're going to go to purgatory and so on and so forth. Huh? Never change. Religion is like that. And verse 13. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. How many of us are enduring? I've been a Christian since I was less than 12 years old. I'm still here, enduring. What if the Lord doesn't come another 10 years? Will you endure? Or if the Lord don't come next year, this year, next year, next 2 years, what will you do? Let's forget all about it. What? Or maybe I go to church once a month, 12 times in a year. You know, some people just seem to be that the journey of a Christian, you know, the journey as a Christian getting more weary. Because you walk and you walk, it seems that the journey, the destination never seems to end. Huh? You know what, if, I don't know, you know, camera tricks. You know, sometimes you watch a movie, sort of a camera trick. You know, it looks very near something, it stretches, it seems far away, it never come back to you. You go near it, the distance gets so far away back. You know? So, what we endure. There are a lot of people who feel weary. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for the witness and to all nations, and then shall the end come. In fact, in this 20th century, the gospel has reached to many, many nations. The Bible did not say that everybody must hear. The Bible said to every nation out there, our people. He didn't say to every individual. There are those who just do not want to hear. Huh? They don't even know who Jesus is. When you tell them, no, I don't want to hear. I have my own religion. They even heard about the name Jesus, but they don't want to know anything more. He's just another, you know, leader, founder of a religion. They just shut their ear. I witnessed to many people. I was a soul winner back then in the 60s when I was working in hospital, when I was in the assembly of God. I was a soul winner. I go to house to house. I go out to the road. I go to the park. I go to the hospital. Talk to everybody as I can. And I brought a lot of people to the Lord. But they are knowing my soul winning experience. There are a lot of people, they just shut their ear. They don't want to hear. Alright? But the nation of the world, they all have the gospel already. But when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, he was speaking about, of course, in the days when the Roman emperor or prince Titus, you know, went over to Jerusalem, the city and the temple, and destroyed it. Okay? And then in verse 21 says, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen in the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those there shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Talking about the tribulation period cut short. But even for now, our grace age. If Christ does not want to come and extend his grace age a little bit more, I think that we're going to have a whole lot of problem too. You know. Alright? And verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, oh Lord, here is Christ, or Christ is dead, do not believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That means that the elect cannot be deceived. Amen. And this is a verse that I want you to really understand. And we all know I taught you well, I believe. Because those Branhamites, those anti-message believers, this is a very well quoted verse. Because Barabbas spoke of it, the elect cannot be deceived. And therefore they say the elect cannot be deceived. But don't read Brother Gunn's book. You heard about that? Huh? That means they already, their faith is, their confession is false. That's why I want you all to read. It doesn't matter who I read you want to go to. If you want to go, if you don't say, Brother Gunn, I don't know, like some of the brothers here, say, Brother Gunn, how is the charismatic church like? I say, go. Go and go and see for yourself. And you went there and you see for yourself, right? I don't have to say, okay, don't go there because you might be deceived. Because after all, if you are an elect, you cannot be deceived. If you are deceived, then you're not elect in the first place. You know? So, you know, elect cannot be deceived by anybody else. When we are in the truth, we can never be deceived. That's, you know, why it's so important to be grounded in the Word of God. Not grounded in creeds or dogma or tradition. Then you can be deceived. Because you don't have a foundation. Right? And I shall go on to say, behold, I've told you before, wherefore if you shall say unto, if they shall say unto you, behold, Christ is in the desert, don't go for it. He's in a secret chamber, do not believe it. For as the lightning come out of the east and shall even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's talking about the parousia. And we have seen it. That's when the message came. And we receive it. Okay? For whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. That is what we are feeding on. The carcass, not the body. Wheresoever the body, where the body is, there shall the eagle be gathered, is when we are taken away. There are two different places. The gospel writer used two differently. Because it's a hidden mystery in it. Okay? So then we have verse 29 onward is talking about the tribulation period. Alright, and then of course verse 32 onward, talk about the fig tree. And we know that fig tree already put forth its leaf in 1948. Right, and then chapter 25, that's where we see the 10 virgin doctrine, or parables. And the mystery hidden here, few do understand, even because the first word in the Bible tells us the period. Then, it tells us the period. When you see chapter 24 in fulfillment, then chapter 25 comes in immediately. And we are living in that period already since Brother Abraham came upon the scene. Is that right? Okay? Now, let us go into the chart of Brother, and then we consider the time. Okay? Now, I'm going to upload all this chart onto my website, but I will not put it on my website. So now this is the main chart. We are not looking at everything on this chart, but I want you to look on this one here. Alright, here is the verse in Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11 to 12. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. Now this is a chart that we have used many years back. This is the night watch. Now, there are two watches, the day watch and the night watch. So the Bible, we are using the night watch. And many ministers have used this period of the night watch to illustrate the timing. So if you were to take this night watch, and since we are looking at 120 years, why do we look at 120 years? The fact is we look at 120 years because it's the lifespan of a man. Remember what God said back in the days of Noah. My spirit will not stop him, and his days are numbered 120 years. So, we are taking this 120 years because number, there are many different numbers. 50 is a jubilee. Okay, 70 is period of perfection plus, 7 times 10, which is 10 means the law, the ordinance. Okay, and some people take 70 therefore as a generation. But we want to see whether 70 years is really a generation or not. Okay, because people have taken that. Alright, so these are all the different numbers, but we take the 120 years, and then since there are four different parts, we have, first of all, the evening watch, and then we have the midnight watch, and then we have the darkness, and then we have the morning, okay? So each watch, each period of the watch, four sections means that about 30 years each, or 3 hours each. Begin at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. By the time 6 a.m. in the morning comes, it will be the day watch. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6. Brother Henry, somebody said he liked your voice. So we will use your voice. Chapter 14, verse 6. Zechariah.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that the evening time it shall be light.
Alright. So there shall come a day when there is neither day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah has nothing to do with the church. Zechariah has to do with Israel. But it always, people have taken this, Bible has taken this to type the period that we are living in. The church period that we are living in. You understand? So if we take this as a type, then if we go back into the history of the church, Pentecost starts out in 1906 when the Spirit of God poured out His Spirit. In 1906, in Azusa Street. Alright. And then in 1909, also in Europe, in other parts of the world. So that's when the Spirit of God was poured out. Okay? Because it was a time when the churches, the denomination churches, different Christian from these different churches, they were looking for something. Because the church, the denomination church at that time, back before the 1900s, back in those days, in the 1800s, it's kind of very nominal. People go to church, just like the people go to a temple, go to a shrine, go to some kind of a pagan temple and worship God, that's it. So Christians sort of do that. And so it was this group of Mennonites and the Episcopalians, the Methodists, that the Christians, they work together, they said, let us study the Word of God. Let us come together. Let us pray. Because there's something, that's missing. And some of them were actually preachers. So they came together in the home and then they actually spent their time in the garage. Or in a warehouse. And they prayed. And they prayed. I don't know how many years before 1906 that God literally poured out His Spirit upon this group of people who were fervently seeking the Lord. A lot of people they cannot wait upon God. Lord, I want it now, please. And that they think they get it. But these Christians, they were all saying, they studied. So what's wrong with the church? There was no power, nothing. It was a time when this John Wesley, when he went to America, you see, a lot of Christian people, Lutheran and all these others, and they were still drinking beer and getting drunk, smoking away in the columns of Christian. Have you ever seen an Anglican priest, bishop, smoking pipe? Have you? Here in Singapore, they do. Yes. So it was nothing to them. You know? Until John Wesley realized, he did not just say, I have justification, but are you sanctified? It's so much different. And when these people realized the doctrine of sanctification, they stopped drinking, they stopped smoking, they get right with the Lord. Because you cannot just say, I'm justified, and then your life just, no proper change. So the same thing with these people back then, before 1906. They were sick, I don't know how many years now, I can't remember. You can find in the book record. And the prayer until one of the men, one of the preachers said, you know what, I'm going to take on a journey, I'm going out there somewhere, but I'm going to come back a few weeks later. But I want you to study the book of Acts. He told the group of people that, you know, they were praying. And then tell me what you see in the book of Acts when I come back. So Lord, when he came back and he asked them, what do you notice in the book of Acts? And they all said, we notice one thing. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. And you can buy the book, They Spoke with Other Tongues, by Charles Parham. And this preacher said, yes, that's what I know. And one of the sisters said, pray for me. And the Bible said, they lay hand. So lay hand on me. So they lay hand on this sister. And when they lay on him and pray, the sister starts speaking in tongues. And they start praying for one another, and they were speaking in tongues, and they were rolling, and they such a jubilant of joy, and they start rolling on the floor. That's what later on they were called holy rollers, or the shakers. Of course, today's holy rollers and shakers, many of them are fake. They're trying to produce, imitate. But those are the real thing. That's what it was. They are Pentecost the first time. You see. So the Spirit was poured out, and now that's evening time. But in the meantime, it shall be light. The Holy Ghost coming is not yet the light. It's just beginning. So later on, if you look at here, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7. Brother Henry.
But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day or night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light.
That's it. At evening time it shall be light. So in 1933, that's when Brother Branham went to Old River, Ohio, and baptized. That's when the Lord spoke to him. Yeah? As John the Baptist was sent with a message to forerun the first coming of Christ, so are you sent with a message to forerun his return to the second coming of Christ? So that was 1933. So 1936 will be the third hour of the night, or third hours of the evening night. Okay, so now Brother Branham began to minister the word, preach the word. Okay, the light is coming now, shining forth. You know, it is always the darkest time of the night that we see something happen. But this is the midnight hour now. Okay, so this is the midnight hour. So 1953, around that period, 1952-53, the Brother Band began to preach the message. Come out of all my people, come back to the Word of God. Why? Because in that, you know, Brother Abraham was preaching out there and sharing the truth in denomination. Right? You understand that? But the calling out of the bride has not yet gone forth. Until about 52, 53 in the period of time. So then he began to heat up. You cannot stay in the system, in denomination, in this darkness. So come out of her. That's the midnight cry. And that's why you see Matthew 25. The parable of the Tambourine. That's where the parable became to be fulfilled. It was never fulfilled before then. See, because why? You can see that there was a midnight cry there. There was Tambourine, five wise, five foolish, and there was this messenger that cried out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. And there was Brother Abraham. That was the messenger. come out to meet him. Meet who? Not him, as Brother Branham. He was pointing to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is coming. So in 1965, Brother Branham passed away. He has to go. He has to go. Because you know why? Everybody start worshiping him because he's a man with a gift. It's so special. And the problem is that people are always, human beings are like that. They like the supernatural. Huh? They want to see with their eyes. And they get so attracted to it. And sometimes they don't know that they are caught in these signs and wondering that they forgot to look to the Word of God. So he passed away in 65 and 1966. That's already 6 hours here. And 1966, that's when the fivefold ministry began. Right? As long as Bob Graham is around, the fivefold ministry cannot do much work. Because that is a message that people need to hear. Alright. Now the fivefold ministry come into action. The true fivefold ministry that will perfect the bride. Yes, throughout the church ages, we had a fivefold ministry at work. But it was never to be like what we live in this age. Because this is one that will make the bride ready. And so this is called what I call the kupa. That is inside. Inside is the day star. You know what a kupa is? The tent. The song that we sing, "Into thy chamber, be free, Holy Spirit." That's the song. My beloved is mine and I am his. Remember Isaac took Rebecca, right, into his mother Sarah's tent. That means to say he married her. And that's the nuptial chamber. That's the kupa. The man knows the woman. The woman knows the man. Husband, wife. No messengers around. Eliezer is not around. Huh? So when Jesus is making love to you with his word, don't say, "Oh, but Brother Branham said." You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is what a lot of believers and end-time messages are doing. We are supposed to be one with the word. Amen. Not one with the messenger. You understand? Every one of us are members of the body of Christ. We all should be one with the Word. Because it is the Word that feeds the whole body. See? And so, but while we are in the kupa, and that's what we are in now. We are in this chamber of God, in the Word of God, the Word tent of God. Outside, I mean say that as long as you are not in the truth, on the outside is a great darkness. Cock crowing falsely, false prophet, liars, deceivers, wandering star, etc. You know the cock crow, anyhow, anytime, sometime, you know, this crazy cock crow. They are the cock that crow only when the sun gets up, it crows. Even time when the sunset, it crows. But there are those other cock crow, anytime on the night they crow. And I wake everybody up and they say, "Oh my goodness me, it's only about 2 a.m. in the morning. What are you doing?" And this is what we have on the outside. So now, and then, 1996, while the morning continued, the morning cometh and also the night. Watchman, watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, "The morning cometh and also the night." So now we are past already 1996. You know, the morning come. Christ is coming. And this is still the dark part of the night. Whereas the sun is coming up. In the far horizon, you don't see much. But it's the dim light because the sun is coming up. The morning cometh and also the night means to say that even as the light of God shines forth towards us. Huh? There is a lot of darkness that follows. A lot of spiritual darkness that will follow. What do you think about when Brother Ben talk about the true vine? The true vine and the false vine, how close they were? Huh? And take this message alone that God gave to us to come back to the Word. Right? The prophet just simply said, come back to the Word. Come back to the original. But what was following it? There is a spirit that follows it, that impersonates it, that imitates it so close. But Brother Branham said, bringing in a spirit. Listen to the prophet. If you have listened to the prophet right the first time, it's all he thinks. Oh, hear what Jesus Christ was preaching. Here came the Pharisees. Here came the Sadducees, the religious leader. They don't like what he was saying, because why? Contradict to what they believe. That is the light and this is the darkness. Right? Huh? Christ is the light and they, the religious people, are the darkness. They don't like that light. They think that they are the light because they influence other people. And then Jesus said, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition. The light has been destroyed by your tradition. And tradition is darkness. Are you seeing that? Huh? So when the word is there, and the Pharisees say, we have Abraham, we have Moses, we have all the prophets. Jesus said, you know them, you know who I am. Because the volume book spoke of me. You hold the Bible. You hold the light. But you are the darkness to hold the light. How can you feed the people the light when you are in darkness? How can the religious leader out there in the world give the people the light when they are in darkness? How can the prophet preacher give the light when they are in darkness? Oh, but we are saying what Brother Branham said. But you are not saying the way Brother wanted. You are not saying the way Brother Ben said it in the first place. Huh? I've been challenged by many from America. Even some in Africa. Remember I told you about the one time over in Manila? Yes. That young man from America tried to correct my doctrine. What about the time when I was in Ghana? Two of them at the table. And all I have to do is give them the word of God, a question. They couldn't answer. How about the time when these two, when I was in Uganda, when these two men came in and challenged me over the word of what Brother Branham said? Brother Branham said that Adam and Eve, they have not sinned, just spoke the word, just speak the word to the dust of the ground to bring forth children. And I was there with 30, 40 elders and preachers. First I was there. Don't know what they were going to ask. But I already have the assurance from God. If when He called me to preach, don't worry. Don't take thought for what you're going to say. I'll give you the word. When they pop up the question, that's when the Lord taught me how to do it. I stood there. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. You put words in my mouth. When I presented to them, everybody was shocked because they couldn't answer, and they themselves also do not know what's the answer. And I have to show them the word. And the two men walk off. I have one man, a big guy from Canada, challenge me. Same way. In Nigeria. Why do people think that they're so full of themselves that they have the word? When they only quote the prophet, like the Pharisees, like the Sadducees. Moses said, Daniel said, we have Abraham as our father. Yes. And Jesus said, if you know them, you know who I am, because they spoke of me. So who, if you know Brother Branham, who did you William Branham spoke of? Himself? Who did William Branham spoke of in this message? Who did he speak of? Come on. Christ Jesus. But not God himself. A lot of people today just thought, oh my, you know. So we all look at it. So the morning come up. Yes, the light is getting more and more bright now. But the night will also follow. Wherever the light travels, darkness will follow. The darkness wants to follow and corrupt and deceive the people. Now, from 1996 to another 30 years down, what year would that be? 2026. Am I not right? Mm-hmm. 2026. What year are we now? We are in 2017. 2019 is coming up. 1,200 years, would it be? Very interesting number. When I was doing it, we didn't realize. But Brother Tony had the chart and come up with something. We look, oh my. There's some kind of patterns right there. Yes. A pattern right there. Now, when he talked about these dreams and vision that he and his wife had about the earthquake of California, where it's going to start. So we're going to look at this now. In 1906, the Great Revival, remember the Azusa Street, the Pentecostal outpouring of God in 1906? It was poured out in the year 1906. And 1906 happened to be just a few days later, there was a great earthquake in San Francisco. The great San Francisco earthquake. Thousands, and I don't know how many thousands of people died. So if Brother Tony do a research, and on the average, large earthquake recurs on the San Andreas Fault about 150 years, about every 150 years. That is, magnitude was 7.8. In 1857, there was one down in southern San Andreas Fault. And of course, 7.9, and there was another one in 1680, 7.7. Now look at the fault line. This orange line, the black line all the way up, the blue line, northern San Andreas Fault. Now this is a big fault line all the way. Now in Brother Tony Rohana's vision and his wife's dream, they dream the same thing. The wife dreamed it the night before, and he told the husband and the children went to this particular museum they wanted to go to, and he was there in the daytime. The brother Tony Rohana had a vision that gave him a big shock when he was driving the car. You can read about it in the other segment of where he was explaining. You know. So when we look at this chart now, here we have, this is Los Angeles here. The southern leg is just above here. And this is the place where Brother Tony and Sister Rana said, that's where it's going to start. Between two mountains. Now, if we're going to start from here, it's going to break up pieces by pieces, downward and all the way northward. I don't know how long it's going to take. All the way up to San Francisco here. And continue all up to Cape Mendocino. Wow, that's going to be quite a piece of land that's going to break off and then sink into the sea. And then the water is going to rush up to Sierra Nevada Mountain. Wow, I don't know how. And if people would have time to run if it's going to break off. But I believe God is always merciful and full of grace. That if the earthquake is going to start in east of Los Angeles in the southern lake, there might be just a big earthquake, but the land is going to flood yet. Then, but the fault is going to crack up. You know how it is like, huh? It's just that when you put a crowbar into a piece of wood, and then you just plow open, it crack, 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 all the way up. You know. So I do not know how God is going to be. This might be the warning. They said, God, get out now. And those people who still love Hollywood were on the stage. And they're going to crowd maybe upwards and downwards. I do not know. And keep on going. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how many weeks or days, I have no idea. I believe this is how God would give people the time to get out. You see. And then when you fall, You're going to have a big tsunami that the whole world will follow. Here he shows the picture of the rapture of 1906 and under a fort. You can see how much of this fort is. From here, the Gulf of Mexico, California, below here, stretching all the way up the freeway, Southern Seas, right here, and all the way up, continue all the way up to San Francisco. Now, using 1906 as the beginning of the watch, 120 years, we have the Balfour Declaration of the Creation of Israel, 1917. And we know people at 50 years, you know. Let me say this first of all, that we are not the only one that are looking for the coming of the Lord. Okay? There are many Christians that are looking and wanting to see some sort of a sign, a place in Scripture that give us some clue, so to speak, clue. Okay? I mean, it's not wrong to look for clue. After all, Prophet Daniel was looking for clue, right? Right? And Jesus can say, I'm going to tell you what happened. The Lord sent an angel to tell him. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and the holy city, New Jerusalem. Right? And of course, by that time later on, years later, there are people to study. When is the Messiah coming? They look at it. But by the time when the Messiah actually was born, a lot of people don't even know when he was born. Huh? Only a few. You see. And when he was cut out on Calvary, how many of you knew that was the Messiah? You understand? Even though the clue were there, they don't even know. But remember, there was this priest that was in the temple. But look, he knew that the Messiah must be born already. But he didn't know when he was born. So he was just in the temple. Right? Temple. So that every time when somebody brought to him a child for a dedication, he will hold the baby. Right? He will hold the baby boy and look. Well, this is not the one. And that's how when Mary came with Joseph and gave him the Lord Jesus, right? The little baby Jesus. And when he looked at the baby Jesus, he said, this is the one. He said, now Lord, let me depart in peace. I have seen thy salvation. It is not a day that you can fix on. You know the season. You know the hours about this time. But we do not know when. Huh? I don't know how many days or weeks or 40 or 2 days he was waiting, when is the baby? When is the baby? When is the, you know, the one to be, who is to be the Messiah? But when God opened his eyes, he see. And that's what we are waiting for. Until God give us the open our eyes to see, we will not have it. We are not going to walk down the road and get up in the air. That's not going to happen. That's a false doctrine. Because I was taught like this when I was in denomination. Kind of funny walking along and then with a friend and then disappear, the guy would be jumping out of his skin. You know? So 1917, you add 50 jubilee year, 50 is jubilee, equals 1967, which we all know, of course, is the capture of Jerusalem, right? And in 1948, we know that Israel became a nation. Is that right? Okay. We know that it is 70 years, then you will end up in 2018. Is that right? Huh? Yeah, 120 years. See? Okay, let's keep on going right here to 2016. We don't see much here, but look at another chart. Let me show you another chart. Now, I'm just going through this. This is a chart that he tried to show us section by section. Alright, this is the vision and dream that he had located at exit 59 at the Getty Center Drive. And he's showing this photograph of the place where on the highway, and as you see on the left here, this part here, you can see the two mountains, M1, M2. Okay? He said that's where the earthquake would start. Alright? M1, M2. He's just showing this. He goes through a lot of detail to show everything. Alright. And over on this side, the same thing. He shows the highway and the two mountains. And where the earthquake is going to start. Because when Brother Tony got out from the driveway to exit, he saw a vision, open vision. And he was, whoa, whoa, whoa. He broke the car and he saw the mountain shake and start from there. And the wife was in the car, realized that he saw something. And his wife told him, I know you saw something. And I want to tell you what I dreamt about last night. And he told the wife, don't tell me, I'll tell you what you dream. Kind of both of them, one had a dream, one had a vision. Okay? So he does, this is the exit. Now this section number one, he's just telling the experience that he had. And here is that map that he drew when he got out on the highway, the exact location, alright, of the dream. When he gets into the highway. Okay, now we're not going to look at this. This is another section he talks about. Section B, this chart is very big. So he breaks up into sections to tell the story. Alright, but what we want to is to look at he had a dream of the southern sea here. Okay. Interesting how you draw all that to show us. But let me go to the one that I want to talk about, to share. Is this one. This is the final one that he had. What I want to show you about, interestingly, is the date that he had all along here. All this particular strange number. Now the thing is that there's a lot of pattern in his chart. All the patterns seem to be running, interlocking. And you want to say, wow, this is a coincidence. You know? So now, because he said that the Lord was showing him all these things, you know, he had nothing to do with it. The Lord thing that came to him, this and that. So he drew all these charts. Finally he said that Friday, May 26, 2017. He said, would the door shut? This is the year, this is the day. On the 26th of May this year. He said, well, the earthquake will start right there in Salton Sea. But would he shut and said that, well, the time is close up for the Gentile? Or for the bride. But there is a lot of things that we do not know. Because sometimes when we have dreams or visions and we get these things that it seems that the Lord was just showing us and we're just looking at it and it fell to a lot of pattern. So we can only ask questions. Now if May 26th starts the earthquake in Southern Sea, I'm looking for it. I hope that it really starts and give us an understanding of time. Now if it starts, and he was telling me one day that just only last two weeks ago about how this thing developed. You know, he said that he was outside in the backyard or someplace with his wife and then the son was jumping on the tambourine. And there was this eagle that was flying up there. And then it flew up and he said, Lord, if you are trying to tell me something, please bring the eagle back and circle around here again. And then before he flew off. And the eagle came back. And then after he flew off. And then the son was standing on the tambourine, said to him, said, Dad, God speak to you. 120. 30, 30, 30, 30. And he was wondering what on earth, because God gives his son in a very strange way. Because the son was healed by God in a very mighty way. From demonic influence. Because of his father-in-law. Now, the thing is this, the 120, he doesn't know what it is. So he went in back and calculated. 120, May 26, calculate 120 days. And you know where it ends up? It ends up in September 22. September 22nd is the day before 23rd, which happened to be the feast of trumpet for Israel. So, right? Kind of interesting, huh? You see? So he was saying, oh, 30, could it be that after the Southern Sea earthquake started, would that be that there will be Japan have an earthquake in the next 30 days? And then after that, would that be Israel an earthquake? Put it on now. You understand what I'm saying? But let me show you this. Here is the ring of fire. Now, we have here California. This is a ring of fire. Okay? In all these different parts of the earthquake belt area. Okay? Now, this is the ring of fire. So, if the earthquake starts here, I already talked about this many years ago and shared with the church here. That if it were to start here and so massive an earthquake. Now, remember this is a tectonic plate. There is a plate, this is called the Pacific Plate, this area. And here we have the Cocos Plate. And this part here is the Nusa Plate. And then we have South American Plate, the African Plate, the Antarctica Plate in this area here. And we have the Indochina, Australia Plate. Then we have the Asia Plate over this side. Now just imagine that this tectonic plate, if you have a big earthquake. You know, if you have a table like this or the pulpit, if you just move one little cm here, this part here will have to move and move something. But because the earth is big. So if the earthquake were to start here in California and split, huh? Just a crack of 2-3 meters, what do you think, how much force it will generate over on the other side? You know, it will generate a whole lot over this other side. Against these other plates around here. It'll move here. So if they move this, it will crack up all the way to Alaska, then over to Mongolia, Japan, okay, down to Philippines, Manila, down to Sumatra, then you have New Zealand, and all this volcano action. Then it will move down south, along the western side of South America. Then when over here, you will have to move across from here over to Himalaya. From Himalaya, you will go right down to, well, to Europe. You have Turkey, you have Israel, down of course to Mozambique, Kenya, Uganda section, all over this side, on the eastern side of Africa. Wow. Because the Bible tells us, God said, I'm going to shake this whole world. I'm going to shake. And people will have to wake up. Because we're also looking at the sign where, at the time of the battle of Ezekiel 38-39. Right? So, let us look at something else. Here we have this chart. Remember, this is only a portion of the chart that we produce. I taught this whole series from eternity to eternity, from Genesis to Revelation, back in 1992. And this chart was produced as it goes on. For one whole year, the chart then became complete in 1993. So now, when this chart was produced, when I studied this all the time, years, I said, why do we put the battle of Ezekiel 39, 38, and 39. So the only way to put it is right here. Here we have the Laodicean church age. And the message came, the calling of the bride. Is that right? That's the short message. Come out of her, my people. Then we have the voice, face of the descent of Christ, which is to perfect the bride. The wife make herself ready. Under the fivefold ministry. And then we have the seventh thunder that will have to sound. That will be the last trump. But all these events that is going to happen Why would we put Ezekiel 38, 39? The only place I could think of to put is right here. There is no place else that Ezekiel 38, 39, the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39 can be fought. It must be fought before the coming of the Lord. Because there is a clue that is given there that says that God says, I will sanctify my name. People say, no, it cannot be. This battle can only be fought after the millennium. In the book of Revelation, it's called the Battle of Gog and Magog. So they mix up Gog and Magog in these two chapters of Ezekiel 38 39, because it mentions Gog and Magog. But if the Gog and Magog that is mentioned here in Ezekiel 38 39 is the same one over in Revelation that is after the millennium, then there is something wrong with this. The verse that Jesus, that God spoke of, I will sanctify my name. Because why? In the 1,000 year of the ruin of Christ, his name is already there. The whole world will know him there. You understand? But today, the Jew has been an outcast people. A lot of people spit on a Jew. Is that right? A lot of people spit on Christ. And look at all the fanatic out there, they kill the Jew and they kill the Christian. And God said, I am Yahweh. And my begotten son is Yahshua. And I will sanctify my name. I will sanctify my name. You spit on it, God's going to sanctify it and make it known. Make you eat your own word and your curses. So this is the only place that you can feed it. So it looks like, well, nothing seems to be happening now. It seems that Donald Trump and Putin seem to be shaking hands. But you know, all together, all this politics, you shake hands one moment, well, you shake it with the right hand, and the left hand you hold a dagger. Huh? And when you have to pat the person in your left hand, you just jab him on the back when he's not looking. The world is crazy. Even in religious world, even in anti-message, oh, how are you a member of that? They actually say it with the mouth. See? We have this going on around the world. If May 26, right here at the bottom here, May 26, 2017, this year, if the earthquake started on this day, 120 days later, is going to be the translation, the rapture. So the question is, would the rapture take place on the 22nd of September 2017? That's a question. Some of you sitting here saying, Nola, I think I want to stay here a little bit longer. Is it possible? It may be possible. It may not be. We do not know. Right. But the thing is this. Since now that Jesus said, nobody knows the time, nobody knows the day and the hour, now we know. Isn't that true? Now we know. But it will not be something of contradiction. But the question I ask is this. The Jewish calendar, how accurate is the Jewish calendar? Let's look at this fulfillment of the feast. This is the feast of Jehovah. Okay? We already know that the first four feasts, Jesus Christ fulfilled it in his day. Right on the dot. In that particular year, what year was that? What year was that that Jesus can fulfill all this? The Passover, that's Friday. Unleavened bread, Friday in the tomb. Then the resurrection, first fruit. Right? That's in the month of Nisan, or Abel. And then 50 days later, in the month of Sivan, you have Pentecost. All within that year. Got it? What year was that? No prizes for guessing. What year was that? Come on. AD 33. Wow, AD 33. Okay. Some say AD 32. Some says AD 31. When was Christ born? 4 BC. Nope. 2 AD. Nope. 0 AD. That's a bad choice. Do you know that there are, look, go and look for yourself. Go and, I studied it, I know it. Back in those years, they say Jesus was born 4 BC. 4 BC. How can it be 4 BC? Because the calendar is out of sync. Then some say, no, this is a floating time, blah, blah, blah. 280. Wow. 4 BC to 280. That's about 6 years. Or 5 years in between, huh? Because you cannot have 0 BC and 0 AD, right? There must be only one place. 1 BC, 0 is the same. It has to, because there's no, you know, you cannot move forward and backward like that. So there is 4 years floating time. So then when did Christ die? 29 AD. That's what they said. I didn't say, I'm just saying what they said. Some said 31, 32, 33. We take 33 because we want to fix 0, right? We want to fix 0 BC, 0 AD as the time that Jesus was born. He worked, he lived, he was baptized on the 30th year of his life. He ministered for 2.5 years, so he died at the later part of March or April, around that time. 33 AD. So let's assume now, this is only an assumption, we do not know. Let's assume that when he was 33 AD, at that particular time, that particular year, that when Christ fulfilled the first three feasts, that year, it was corresponding to exactly the original calendar. Because we know, as I said, Jewish calendar is lost. What is the year in the Jewish calendar this year? 5777. Kind of odd number, isn't it? For what did they have 5777? I don't understand that. I thought they were so accurate. You still have lost the calendar when they were made captive, the northern nations, the tribe, went to Assyria. The two southern tribes, Judah, were taken to Babylon. So how many years were that? 70 years, and they lost. You know what they were? You know when you were made captive that long for one whole generation of people, your children grow up speaking what? Babylonian language, I mean Assyrian language, huh? Right. If Sister Grandi were to live here for maybe a few years, you'll be speaking just like no luck. Oh, the Singlish. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You are, when you are taken and live in a country for so many years, especially when you are young, you grow up. Like some of these American kids here who are born here. Huh? They speak Mandarin. Wow! They even speak Hokkien. You know? They come because they are there. And they, what do they eat? They're not eating beef and steaks. They all like to eat the local food here. You know? So this is how it is like. So, what do you think? They lost their calendar because they're using their calendar. If you go to China, actually, I mean, now China is turning modern, you know, they, of course, they still keep their tradition of using the ancient Chinese calendar. But if you are living in a place where they completely don't use Western or modern day calendar, or the Roman calendar, what do you think? You probably don't even, you know, remember. I mean, you probably wouldn't know what is the year. Or if you are living in a place where you are using ancient calendar, you live in a modern, using Roman, you probably would not know. Huh? If you ask me about my Chinese birthday, I don't know when I was born. I only know I was born at the year of the pigtail. Huh? According to the zodiac, I'm the end of the pigtail. And this year is the year of the rooster. You see? So, things change. So, I don't know what it really is. So now, when you have the next seventh, this last three feasts, trumpet, atonement, tabernacle. Remember, these are the things that God is going to fulfill for Israel. But for us, we all know these are all realized, become spiritual for us as Christians. Okay, so When the trumpet, the feast of trumpet, would it be actually this 23rd of this year, September? Is it the actual day? Or would it be next year or 2019? I have no idea. Because God is going to fix it in a way that the Jew would not even understand it. They have. Because, you know, the morning, the calendar they have now, the Jewish calendar they have now, they add lunar month and things like that. Huh? They all have different months, huh? Like the Chinese calendar. You know that, don't you? Yes. You see. Alright? Because they lost the original calendar, as I told you. Okay. So let us look at. Now remember that a lot of, back then, this was a chart that my son Zohar drew. Back then. Okay? Now, it was in 2008 that he shared with us this. But you know, back in those days, everyone is always looking for the coming of the Lord. So there were books written about the possibility that the book of Psalms are actually telling us a story. Psalms 1 to Psalms 119. That every chapter represents a year. Because of certain things that were spoken there. You know? So, like Psalms 109, there was something about Antichrist being mentioned, sort of thing. So could it be the Antichrist being revealed in the year 209, somewhere in 209? And then now we have Psalm 111, because he's talking about being redeemed and catch away or something like that. I don't know. I didn't refer to it now. But they mentioned something about, like, would it be the possibility that there was a rapture? You understand? So each of these Psalms represents something. But now, look at this chart, and in retrospective, looking at it, these 7 years, if the rapture will have to take place in Psalm 111, and it's supposed to take place at 2011, the 11 behind represents the year. Okay? And then we have got the next 7 years is the tribulation period, or the 70th week of Daniel, where Israel will conquer, yeah, you know, God will help them conquer and have their land back. And then that is to say that the end, where we have in 2018, okay, Armageddon will come in, and then 2019 will begin the millennium. But retrospectively, when I look back in this Psalms, was this Psalm talking about 7 years yet in the future? Moving these 7 years from here to here. To this period. You know? Not about Israel here, because if the rapture were to occur somewhere here, I mean the 7 years is still ahead of them from 2018 to 2019 ahead. Right? Is it not right? Okay. Let me look and show you this. Remember the night watch? Remember 1906 to 2026. Correct? 120 years. Okay. Now we look at the bottom here with the line timeline. If the rapture is going to happen 2017, 2018, or 2019, within that period, and 120 years end, with 7 years in the future for the 70th year of Daniel, you minus 7 years from 2026. What year is that? 2019. Right? Now it looks interesting on this because of the pattern. And already I said in the first place when we drew this in the beginning, we used 120 years for this night watch, because there are 12 hours in the night and 12 hours in the day. Is that right? Correct? And it started with 1906. So it ends at 2026. Would it be? That's pretty interesting. So now we have 2017, 2018, 2019. 2017 this year is based on 1917 when Israel was given the Balfour Declaration. And 50 years, the year 50 represents Jubilee. You get 67. Is that right? 67. Okay. So if you were to add that, And of course, you're right at 2017. But if you were to take 1948 and add 70, you get 2018. Now, what do we pick 201? What do we pick the number 70? It is because when Jesus spoke to the disciples about the end time in Matthew 24, he said, "This generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled." So, what is a generation? So, well, we said, okay, a generation will be from zero when Jesus Christ was born till the destruction of Israel, because he said, because the question was about the temple as well. So when the temple was destroyed, the children of Israel were dispersed. Is that right? So it was 70 years. Correct? So now, would it be that when the Jews returned back to their land, they will start off their fig tree blooming at 70 years? Correct? But the Lord returned so that Israel would have their land again completely. So good looking at the types and the way that patterns are shown, right? But let me say this. The word generation in the Bible is not about numbers. The Greek word is genia. G-E-N-E-A. Genia. Genia means the generation, the people. It just means that. It's not about number of years. That's why back in the denomination, they all figured out what is a generation. 40 years a generation. 50 years a generation. 70 years a generation. Some say it's 80 years a generation. Right. But if you were to take 120 years, the spirit will no longer strive in man, the days of the man are numbered 120. There is the maximum number of your 120. Can people live up to 120 years? Yes! Because there are a lot of people that can live up in Japan, you can see. A lot of people are 117, 180, 120. And there is one woman who's 132 years old. Huh? Because lifespan can go up too. This day should be 120. So a generation could live up to 100, a generation of people can live up to 120 years. It's only that we don't live 120 years because why? The whole earth is polluted and sick, and we enjoy food like bumblebee, roast pig, roast duck, roast everything, beef steaks, roast chicken, until we roast ourselves to death. But look at the Japanese people. They are healthy. They live right. They eat right. So this generation shall not pass away is to say, those people that were born in the year 1948, not all the people that were born there were passed away. I'm 48. Those people were born on the day that Israel became a nation. May what? 16, 17? May 16. Was it 18? I forgot. Huh? So in that world, in that time when Israel became a nation, and there is 100,000 people born, all this will not all die away before Christ comes back. There might be maybe about 50,000 or 20,000. There will be there. This generation who saw it will see him return. So as much as we look at numbers, we must know one thing. No man knows the day and the hour when you come. We only know the sign and the time that we're living in. All we wish we know. But we only know when final revival comes for the bride. God will never forsake his people. Just as God sent the two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah to call Lot and his family out before he destroyed the city. Is that right? True. You see, he will do the same. But God will have grace as he warned the people. Huh? In the ancient past, ancient time, he will warn the people today. Even those that are not his people, he will still warn them. He give them grace. Brother Bible told the people that California is going to sink.
because of vile place, Hollywood, and all those things. Huh? Now we have something to tell us. If God gave a sign or dream, a vision like this for Tony, we are very near that time. Get out! Get out before it's too late. You see, we don't want to die singing with it, because we do not know how many years before the whole, how many more months or perhaps 1 year, I don't know, before Caleb wants to sing. Because God doesn't want us to die with the wicked. I tell you that. He doesn't want us to die with the wicked. Even though He gives grace and mercy to the wicked to get out. Because when the crack starts to, you know, the quake starts to come out, people say, time for us to get out. We pray that we understand this. So, we are not looking for a particular day, but we are looking at this pattern. Could it be, really, 26th May, this coming 26th May, that the Southern Sea will be a boiling pot, and the earthquake starts from there. How long will it take? I don't know. When the rapture comes on the 22nd, hopefully, if the Lord wants to come on that day, I'm most happy. If He doesn't come, well, we wait for Him. Because it's not our time to know. We don't fix the day. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen? All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, O Lord, for Thy grace. Just so wonderful, Lord, to know that You care for the people. Your people have been looking, O Lord, to Your coming to this earth to set up Your kingdom for many, many generations now. Even in the days of Paul, they were looking for it, but Paul said that it will not be until there the church will fall away and the Son of Man, the Son of Perdition be revealed, Lord. And we know who the Son of Perdition is now. He has been revealed to us even in the days when Martin Luther saw Him and recognized Him. And it's been a long time now, Lord. But You have spoken to us of many other things that must take place before You return. And so, Lord, we are here. We have received Your word, Your message to get out and make ourselves ready as wife for the coming of the Lord. And You have given us a ministry, O Lord, to perfect the bride by Thy word. So, Lord, You have fed us with Thy word through Your ministry that You have set up in the body of Christ, and You have sent them up into the world. And those who have ears to hear will hear. So, Lord, we are thankful, O Father, for giving us these things. And we ask that, Lord, You bless each and every one of those that have ears to hear, that they know the hour that they are living in now, Lord. For the day is far spent. We are in that season of the life that will come forth. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call for the bride to rise up from this earth. And we thank You, Father. We know the whole earth is travailing for the birth of the Son of Man return, and we are looking forward to it. So help us to be watchful, Father. Help us to be watchful and be filled with supplication, O Lord, and prayers. And now we thank You, Father, for Your great love for us now. We commit all things to You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let us have our communion now. Mark chapter 14. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said unto them, this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So you can see in verse 22 itself already, it says, as they did eat, while they were back at the table to eat, continue with the eating of the supper, what's on the table, the food. So Jesus took the bread and then he broke it. He said, this is my body. Then he took a cup and he did the same. He blessed it and gave it to the disciples to eat it. So we want to really thank God for tonight, for giving us always another opportunity to be here, to gather around this table of communion, the cup of his fellowship in his blood, the covenant that he has promised, you know. And, you know, I'm so thankful that with that which he had done for us, when you hold this cup in your hand, you can look at Calvary's cross. You can see that man that hang there on Calvary's cross, all very bloody. His face is filled with blood and all that. You know, his body all torn to pieces, shredded. And he's just hanging out there naked for the whole world to see. What a shame. That's why the Father had to turn his face just to feel that pain that his Son had to carry, that sin, your sin, my sin, upon himself. He was exposed to the whole world. Bad. Shameful. That's why he was praying to God and God said, Father, if possible, remove this cup. Don't let me drink it. And I said this many times. If it wasn't for Gethsemane, if it wasn't for the Garden of Gethsemane, there will be no Calvary. He conquered it in the prayer. That's why it's already, when he got up from his prayer after three times, the blood was already coming up onto his skin because his heart was failing. Heart broke. It's tearing up. It was such a high stress, such a great pressure, high tension, hypertension, that it literally broke and the blood started to ooze out. When you hang on a cross, it finally gives way completely. So much so that his pericardium, the sac that holds the heart, became enlarged because the blood oozes into it. So when the soldier pierced his side, he says water and blood came forth because the blood is heavier than the water and it separates. Jesus Christ died of a broken heart. For who? For his wife. You and me. Remember that. So Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Father, for what Jesus Christ, our Lord, had done for us that night when he was betrayed, the night that he took bread and he broke it and blessed it and he gave it to the disciples. And to each and every one of us, Lord, it is also given. So bless, O Lord, this bread now. In the name of Jesus Christ, for his sake, Lord, we truly be a body of people worthy of his, of the gospel, worthy of his name. We ask for your grace on this, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to bless this cup too. Father in heaven, Lord, also that night before he, our Lord, was betrayed and taken to be charged and then to be crucified, he took a cup and he blessed it and said, this is the new covenant in my blood which was shed for many. Lord, without this new covenant, Lord, in His blood, we will not be here. We will not know who we are, what is our purpose in life. But because of what Jesus did for us, Father, You reveal it to us that You wanted a family. And because man have fallen in sin, Father, yet You love us even before the foundation of the world, and You have ordained it, Lord, that we should return to You, but the only way back is the shedding of blood. This is a great mystery that the world cannot see it, but You have shown it to us because You love us from the very beginning, Father, before there ever was a foundation for this earth. And You make it possible that You send Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill all that which You have predestinated and foreordained to come to pass. And that very night, our Lord Jesus Christ took up this cup and blessed it. And this new covenant became a reality because He fulfilled it when He made this covenant. And He died for us, that our sin may be washed away by His blood. So Father, now bless this cup, for each and every one who partake of it may understand and know of Your great love for every one of us. Because of what You have done for us, we want to thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, Brother Jimmy. And Brother Henry, can you come? Or Brother John, yes. All right, Brother Henry can come and give out this bread.